Hello and welcome to the MS for Mama podcast. I'm your host, Abby Halberstadt, happy wife, mama to 10, Bible-believing Christian. And on today's episode, I'm going to kind of piggyback off of last week's topic of overstimulation and unpack that a little more. But before we jump into that, I want to talk about our podcast sponsor, Summit Ministries. We are huge fans of Summit Ministries in our house. My boys, Ezra and Simon, who are my oldest, almost 18 and 16. And when they go back for their, in Ezra's case, third round, and Simon's case, second, of Summit Ministries Apologetics Camp this summer for 2 weeks, they will be 18 and 16. And they have just so enjoyed growing in their faith, growing in their knowledge of how to engage civilly and reasonably with hot cultural topics. And by hot, I mean hotly debated cultural topics. Summit Ministries is the organization that comes alongside and undergirds all of that work that you've been doing to pour into your young children and then preteens and then teens to say, this is the way to go and we shall continue walking in it, and to come alongside and support you. There's a lot of fun activities as well as lectures and intellectually stimulating discussions. And I know that if you choose to send your teens ages 16 or early adults to 22 to Summit, that they will get a lot out of it and be encouraged in their faith and their walk with the Lord. You can use the code MAMA24, M-A-M-A-2-4 at checkout at summit.org if you want to get $200 off of your registration price. And I'll leave all of that information for you in the show notes. Okay, so last week we talked about the concept of being overstimulated. Is it a real thing? I say yes, having personally experienced it. In that case, right before I recorded that episode. And then if we acknowledge that it's a real thing, how do we respond to it from a biblical perspective? And we talked about not making it our identity. We talked about having practical tools to help us to cope with it. We talked about the seasonal aspect of it. And we talked about how we shouldn't ever assume that someone else kind of has a leg up on us in this area or doesn't struggle. Because just like that J.M. Barrie quote goes, be kinder than necessary because everyone is fighting some kind of battle. We may not be able to see it. And overstimulation doesn't always look like tearing your hair out and running around in circles and screaming and losing your mind. Sometimes it's just kind of a quiet confusion in your brain. Sometimes it builds up until you do lose your mind a little bit and explode. And so just having grace for people and even having grace for ourselves while recognizing that God is not asking us to stay in that overwhelm is super important. We talked more about that in depth, complete with scripture and all kinds of personal examples. If you haven't caught that episode, check it out. But today I wanted to touch on a point that I ran out of time to make last time, but I think that's great, providential even, because it deserves its own unpacking. And that is, what if we are overstimulated because we have actually chosen to overload our own plates or to engage in so many stimuli that we just can't handle it anymore? So the number one culprit that comes to mind is our phones or technology in general. Solomon in Ecclesiastes talks about how there's nothing new under the sun. And yet, there are all kinds of technological advances that present new challenges that people in Solomon's day didn't have to deal with. Yes, they had other challenges than we have now. They didn't have washing machines. They didn't have running water. They didn't have all kinds of modern conveniences. But what if some of our modern conveniences, our modern forms of entertainment, our ways of distracting ourselves, are actually contributing to those times when we do feel like tearing our hair out, when we don't feel like we have enough bandwidth, which is actually a technical term used to talk about the range of frequencies that are used to transmit a signal. And I find it so interesting that we have kind of co-opted that word for our energy levels and the space that we have in our brains to process things and the amount of space that we have on our schedules or our calendars, when in fact, often the actual bandwidth, the signals that are being sent into our brain constantly from our technology, are messing with all of that metaphorical bandwidth to be able to function well, to be able to meal plan, to be able to engage with our children instead of being distracted by the pinging and vibrating of our phones, to be able to say, I'm going to sit in the discomfort of not being entertained for a minute or two. I'm not going to immediately turn on a show or reach for my device or have a tablet going or even have a book on an e-reader I'm going to reach for a physical book. I'm going to take a power nap. I'm going to take a walk, you know, and I'm already, you know, what more can we say in this podcast? I'm already throwing all of the alternatives at you, but I would like to backpedal back to that original statement or question. What if a great deal of our overstimulation is actually our own fault? We often are quick to lay the majority of the responsibility for being overstimulated at our children's feet, at society's feet, everything they require of us, at our husband's feet, at our neighbor's feet. Like, you know, everybody just needs something for me. And that's why I'm maxed out. That's why my brain feels like it's full of bees. But we weren't really made to consume blue light constantly, to consume information constantly. Sometimes when you get addicted to information, and I have done this, you buy into the lie that you have to be connected or you're not going to be informed. You won't know how to pray. You won't be able to vote correctly, all of these things. And while there is some truth to not burying your head in the sand and pretending like the outside world isn't there, you don't want to be blindsided by laws that are being made. You don't want to be blindsided by news that your children find out and you can't even speak intelligently to it because you have completely turned yourself off from any connection to the outside world necessarily. But you also don't want to become so inured with the idea of being up to date all the time that you are actually addicted to information or screens or the combination thereof. And so when I hear from readers who have deleted Instagram from their phones every weekend, or when I hear from readers who have gotten off of social media altogether, so they're emailing me, you know, how strange is it that we live in a world where email, it's kind of the new snail mail, when you could just DM someone on their social media platform, or you could just, you know, send a voice memo via text, or you could, I'm going to take the time to open up my email app and find their email address and type a subject header and then type an email that hopefully, you know, is written well enough to not resemble a bunch of single letters and symbols, right? That takes some effort in today's day and age. And the very fact that kind of brings up this old-fashioned idea of, wow, people sitting down to write an email, means that we have moved past so many technological shortcuts and conveniences to almost wanting a constant IV of it in our veins and in our brains. But again, we're not made to be able to handle that well. We are not made to be constantly fractured with 47 tabs open and every influencer and every media source and every recipe and it flying at us from every direction. And so it is no wonder, guys, that when we have not set boundaries, when we do find ourselves glued to screens or checking for the latest update, because there are books that talk about the fact that social media specifically, but technology in general, retrains our brains to need the dopamine hit of the updates, to the flashing lights and the pinging and the alarms and the buzzing and the update notifications and all of those things. And we, many of us, if not all of us, kind of have addictive natures, and we can easily become dependent upon this thing that's actually drawing our attention away from what matters. And I am guilty, and it is something that I have to fight against. And it is a balance that I'm always striving to strike. And so I'm going to give you some suggestions that I participate in, and then also that I've gotten from readers that I think are really wise. If you find yourself nodding along to this and saying, oh man, I am so guilty of this, and I don't know how to stop, because I get these questions all the time. Okay, I think I might be addicted to my phone. What do I do? The first suggestion would be one that I've already thrown out there, which is the idea of deleting apps from your phone during times when you really shouldn't be on them. If they're not there, you won't get any notifications. You won't be able to interact with them. And that temptation will just be taken off the table. I think that's a great idea. If that's not super feasible for you, it's actually way more trouble for me to uninstall and install Instagram, depending on what my Wi-Fi is, where I am, if I'm working at the gym or something. Something may be super slow. It may take me 10 minutes to reinstall Instagram if something grinds to a halt and I need to get on there and do a quick update. And that's how I'm using my time. So I keep my app installed on my phone. But another great way is to just silence notifications or just put your phone on silent so that you're not constantly being drawn back to it by a reminder that someone needs you, whether that's via text or with app notifications or anything else, that you are able to check it. And for some of you, you're like, listen, I live and die by my phone. I need those updates because if I miss them, you know, I'll be letting my boss down or my husband down. And that's fine. I understand that. But at the very least, training yourself to check frequently enough that it matters, but also not be enslaved to it is probably a good idea. So I keep my phone on silent a lot. And then another suggestion would be to make your charging station in an area of your house that makes it somewhat convenient for you to access your technology all the time when you're doing something where you don't need to be distracted. So charge your phone in a different room when you are reading aloud to your kids, or put the, you know, charge your phone somewhere where you're not taking it to the bathroom with you, or just give yourself a break from that constant stimuli, because I think that we don't even realize how full our brains are getting by our own choice or our own feeling like we have to do this. And you really, really, really don't. And I know that there will be lots of people that can relate to what I just talked about, but then the next thing is kind of a step further, because at least with our phones, we can have them with us. And yes, they distract us. And yes, they fill our brains with knowledge. And no, that's not necessarily a good thing. But they often don't require us to actually do anything with that information other than interact it by pressing buttons or scrolling or reading, consuming. Whereas an overly full schedule means that you can't even stay home. So it's awfully hard to have a peaceful home that you run well if you're never home. And somebody is already offended because I have stepped on their toes because they have a very busy lifestyle and they feel like they're never home. And maybe they don't feel like they're drowning. Maybe they feel like they have really great systems in place that even though they don't spend a lot of time at home, things stay clean, meals get done, their family is happy. And that's great. But I think that that's usually the exception based on the feedback that I get online and the people that I know that talk to me about this in real life and my own life. My household systems suffer when I am running from one thing to the next and don't have time to flip laundry, don't have time to sit down and snuggle with my toddlers and read to them, don't have time to meal prep, don't have time to sort of take a deep breath and plan ahead or go outside and spend a little bit of time in nature and calm my mind. In fact, in Ephesians 5:15-16, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." What a convicting verse. I mean, I know that especially, I don't do a lot of scrolling during the day or spending time on different accounts, but I will check in with accounts that I follow or kind of check out the suggested for me things because I'm on a gathering of homemade snack recipes kick at the moment. So homemade goldfish, homemade Cheez-Its, homemade granola bars. My sister-in-law and I are actually going to get together on Friday of this week and make some homemade snacks that we can put in the freezer or put in our pantries now. I'm really looking forward to that and getting the kids involved. And that's our homeschool activity for Friday. So I've been gathering recipes and it's so easy to let that turn from looking at the recipe accounts to, ooh, what does this news have to say? Oh my goodness, there's a dog doing a funny thing in a video. And this person, oh my word, look at them playing piano like a virtuoso. And 30 minutes later, you've looked at 20 different accounts and you have not been careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. So something, at least jumping back to the social media idea that we can do is we can set timers for ourselves. Okay, 30 minutes of scrolling, consuming what I need to consume and then getting off is a great idea as well. But that convicting verse that says, we're supposed to make the most of every opportunity, not just welcome every opportunity in and say yes to it because it exists. There are certain personalities that I think are more naturally bent toward kind of looking at every opportunity and saying, is that really what we need to be doing? Will this serve our family well? Is this going to be a source of stress? Or there's even the personality that says, listen, I don't want to leave my house and none of this sounds appealing and I don't want to do it at all. However, what I have encountered more and more are people that are saying yes to everything. Yes to every sport. Yes to every extracurricular activity. Yes to every dinner date. And then they find themselves run ragged, overstimulated, underprepared for kind of the daily things that they need to do to keep things peaceful in their homes. And they feel frazzled and frustrated and they can't figure out why. And it's because they're running from one thing to the next at a breakneck speed because they didn't want to offend somebody or they felt obligated. They are having a people-pleasing moment or they didn't want to miss out. That whole FOMO concept. My oldest son didn't get to go to a church event that he really wanted to go to because he had already committed to playing in a pickleball tournament, which he also wanted to play in. But the pickleball tournament ended up being a little bit of a dud. And so, or ended kind of early for his playing time. And so he ended up not being as engaged and kind of felt like, man, I really wish I would have done the other thing. And he said, I have ROMO. I have regret of missing out. I don't have fear. I missed out and I regret it kind of thing. And we can have that too, where we're convinced that instead of every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of Lights in whom there is no changing or shifting shadow, that every good and perfect gift would include every opportunity that we're given. And the yeses that we do give that we feel good about, those are from the Lord. And we can say, thank you for those. And I'm not picking on Ezra. I know what it feels like to be like, oh man, that thing ended up sounding better than I thought it was going to. And I wish I hadn't said no. But this concept of being careful then how you live, it reminds me of another verse which talks about how every careless word is going to be brought to account to us when we face our Maker. And that's from Matthew 12:36. And it says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. And both of those verses are so convicting. It is so easy to, especially when we are overstimulated, especially when we are overscheduled, especially when we are overtired and underslept, to say all kinds of things that we wouldn't otherwise, that we don't mean, that we wish we could take back, and to commit to all things and not be really careful then how we live, and kind of let our days happen to us rather than being intentional how we spend our days. And I have another podcast on rhythms that I think will help you to, if you feel like, I don't know how I'm supposed to be spending my days. I roll from one thing to the next because I don't have a plan. And life definitely happens to me because I don't know what I should be doing next because I've never established those rhythms and those disciplines to know kind of what the next thing should be that would keep us moving in a direction of peace rather than feeling frazzled all of the time. And so if you want to check out that rhythms podcast, I'll put the number for you in the show notes and you can do that. But overcommitting to technology to the point that it has you by the tail and you feel addicted to it or dependent on it or that you can't get away from it would be one way that we self-sabotage with overstimulation. And the second way would be what we just talked about with overcommitting ourselves and our schedules. And I think that there is so much wisdom to leaving breathing space in our schedules. I've talked about in another podcast, I'll put this one in the show notes as well. It's about seasons and how there are seasons that are busier than others. And even though we have made the efforts to guard our time with our families well, even though we have set boundaries, you know, a parent gets sick or someone's job changes or an opportunity comes along that you and your husband both, after praying about it, think, you know, this would be wise to do this now, even though it adds to our plates. And you find yourself unexpectedly busier or, but often you know that this is for a season, whether that's postpartum or a book launch season plus a flood. The book launch, we knew it was coming. The flood, we didn't know it was coming. So looking back now and saying, what an especially packed and busy season. And yet there were still moments of rest that the Lord gave us. And I wouldn't have chosen for it to be that packed. And I did try to protect that time. And yet even so, you know, the Bible talks about how the plans of a man are for a certain thing, but the Lord is actually what directs the outcome. So when I'm talking about protecting your time, I think we have to be careful not to be resentful if the Lord brings things into it that make us more stressed and more reliant on Him in the process. But I don't think that it's unsound for the goal to be to have breathing room, to not sign. So I've been asked for a podcast specifically on extracurriculars, and that's probably a great idea. But typically our policy is to rotate the things that our children are involved in so that they get opportunities to participate in different areas, but we're not having 10 children signed up in 10 different things at the same time, all the time. So for example, right now we just started soccer season. We have 4 kids in soccer. It's a 6-week season once practices start, and they just started last week. And so that's, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. Sometimes it gets delayed because of rain. That's not too big of a commitment. We have 2 of them on the same team because Evie and Nola are twins and same age on the same team. And so we will have 3 games every Saturday for 6 to 8 weeks. And that's a big commitment. But what we like about this particular league is that they tend to take into consideration having multiple siblings, and they try to stack your practices on the same day so you don't have 3 or 4 different practices every night of the week. And I appreciate it. It's a church league, and I think they do that intentionally. In fact, I know they do because you can submit that request on their website. And I think that's really wise and helpful. So even that, when you're trying not to overschedule yourself, when you're trying not to overstimulate yourself by the choices that you've made in your calendar, choosing a league that allows for things like that, whereas another league wouldn't take that into consideration, would probably be a wise thing. And that's one of the reasons why we play in the spring instead of the fall. We have kids that are in choir right now, and thankfully that works well with our schedule. Ezra and I can alternate taking them in. We have some friends that are also in choir that can sometimes, they can ride with them. It's not a super long season where they're about to have their spring choir, and then they'll have a long break until the fall. But if someone were to come and say, I want to do yet another thing on top of that, right now we would say no. Even if it's something that they really wanted, they really felt like this is what I need to be doing right now, Mama, because Sean and I have a commitment to protect our family time, to spend most of our evenings together as a family. And we've done that for years and years, and we don't want that to change. So even though my schedule may not be like yours, you may be a club soccer family and you are traveling constantly and you find other ways to connect. And I think that that's a matter of discernment for every family. But the main thing would be, if you find yourself saying, you know, I have this conviction, I have this nudge from the Holy Spirit that it might not just be the kids driving me crazy. It might not just be society requiring too much of me. It might not just be my husband's expectations or trying to be super mom. I actually might be making some unwise choices when it comes to how my time is spent that actually puts me behind the eight ball when it comes to keeping up with some basic things that help me feel sane and keep me from feeling overstimulated, or I might actually be filling my mind and heart with too much information. And I want to read you some encouraging verses that talk about this concept of experiencing peace and what that actually looks like and what we can practically do outside of these kind of turn your phone off, put it away, don't overschedule, say no when you know you need to. Ask your husband if you don't know whether you should say no. He's a great regulator often of whether you should do something or not, because we as women a lot of times can feel very obligated or excited about something. And our husband may say, hey, looking at the schedule, stepping back, let's not. And I think that's a great way of leading that the Lord has given him. But another very, very practical way comes from Isaiah 26:3-4, which says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And I'm going to read you a few more, but to unpack that, if you are searching for perfect peace, I think that the answer here is both incredibly simple and encouragingly so, and also really hard, because our brains in our sinful fleshly selves we are so good at getting distracted. We are so good at finding things to occupy us that are not the needful things. And I speak from, I am so good at this, but staying our minds on Christ. This doesn't just say you will keep him in perfect peace who, you know, thinks about you every now and then, or who believes in you, or who has good intentions. It says whose mind is stayed on you. This idea is like fixed on, and it lasts because he trusts in you. How many times are we scrolling on our phones, desperate for information because our trust is in our government or what the culture is doing, and we're afraid that we're going to miss out on an update and then fail our children or fail our civic duty or, you know, whatever. Or we are saying yes to something that we really shouldn't, because even though we've gotten a nudge from the Lord, we just don't trust that he's not going to slam that door in our face. And so we've got to say yes while the door is still open, right? This says he will keep him in perfect peace, which is something all of our hearts yearn for, whose mind is stayed on you. That's on the Lord because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Just last night, I was thinking about, I have this big podcast coming up soon, which is a little intimidating. It's a hard topic, and it's not airing on this podcast, but I'll tell you guys where to find it when it airs. And I don't know if nervous is the right term, but I am desiring to represent the gospel well and to speak with clarity the words that the Lord has for me. And if that's my desire alone, then I could just drop it there and move on. But man, the devil likes to get in our brains and say, yeah, but if you don't do it right, then people will be turned away. If you don't do it right, God won't be honored and glorified. If you don't do it right, you know, people will respond poorly, or you won't win people over, or whatever the case is. And all of these thoughts are swirling through my brain last night. And I was just intentionally reminding myself who is on the throne, that Jesus is king, that when he had the disciples go before, you know, when they're called in to be flogged, when they're called in before the Sanhedrin, when they're called to task before the courts, that you're not supposed to plan what you're going to say. You always are supposed to be prepared to give an answer for your faith with gentleness and respect, just like it talks about in Peter. But it was less about that you have this canned answer for why you're preaching the gospel, and more that you allow God's Holy Spirit to speak through you. So don't worry about what you're going to say. God will give you the words to say. He will speak for and through you. And just remembering those things from scripture helped my mind to calm down so I could go to sleep last night. And I know I'll probably have to keep reminding myself of those things as the podcast gets closer. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. I think that's just about any mom. We literally labor to bring our children into the world, and we are heavy laden with all of these things, with information overload, with schedule overload, with our children's health, with keeping our relationship with our husbands strong, with seeking God's will and reading his word. And we are told that in doing that first, that when we take his yoke, which if you picture this with me, is literally this thing that would go around the neck of oxen as they plowed, and it would keep them going in the right direction. It would have weight and heaviness to it, but it was a way of keeping them where they were supposed to be. So there's a weight to it, but also a direction to it. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. There's that word again, peace, rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so I want to encourage you that if you are feeling overstimulated and you are having little inklings of that being something that you might have contributed to, that that's not a place of despair, that that's a place of enlightenment, that that's probably exactly where the Lord wants you, is examining your heart for ways that you can kick those things that are crowding your brain and your heart and your space and your mind and your schedule out the door, that you can seek wise counsel on how to do that, and that you can move forward in more freedom, more rest in Jesus, who is eager to direct you and weight you with his easy yoke of serving him first and letting the rest fall into place. And and taking every thought captive to his lordship. I think that's the biggest thing, is our thought lives fuel our actions. And when we're afraid of missing out, and when we're frantic, and when we're succumbing to that oh so human desire to be entertained in our thought lives, it becomes very evident in the choices that we make and the activities we pursue, and then the fallout that often we experience after we've just kind of piled on too much. So while yes, overstimulation is a real thing, and sometimes we have no control over the things that the Lord brings into our life, and we just have to ask for his grace in dealing with them well, when we are participating in piling those things on, may we be wise, may we be soft-hearted to the Holy Spirit's conviction and his leading, and may we be examples to others and encouragement to them as the Lord leads us through our own journey with this, to say, you don't have to stay enslaved to this over anything, overstimulation, over busyness, over anxiousness, all these things that the Lord calls us away from into his perfect rest. I want to encourage you that he is there always, that it is available to you always, even in the midst of extreme hardship. I've talked a little bit before about how we're reading The Hiding Place. We're just about done with it. We've taken our time. And the fact that these women, Corey and Betsy Timboom, that it focuses on in this particular book, two sisters, should not have been in a place of peace in the midst of squalor, in the midst of extreme hardship, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of just sadistic treatment, honestly. And yet they often found themselves, especially Betsy is such an amazing, convicting example, saying, the Lord has led us here, and we see how he is using this hardship, how he is stripping away all else but himself to draw us closer to him, and that is a gift. And so I want to encourage you in that as we end, that so many of us, even in our extreme circumstances, are probably not ever going to get to the point of that stripping away that is being taken to a prison camp and being persecuted. And yet when we see that the Lord is faithful, even in those extreme circumstances, how much more so are we able to receive that in our daily overwhelm and our daily busyness, because he desires to meet us in the extreme, the mundane, the easy seasons, all of it. If you enjoy the MS for Mama podcast, I would be so honored if you would subscribe and follow along, maybe share with friends, or even leave a review. And if you want more content on motherhood and biblical responses to cultural issues, be sure to follow along on Instagram at m.is.4.mama.